over the last 2 weeks, and this morning, we are looking at familiar passages from God's Word, passages that point us to Jesus, to why He came and what He accomplished. And so we saw Jesus' triumphal entry on what we call Palm Sunday, where He was making His way into the city and eventually toward the cross. We saw His last moments with the disciples, when He was arrested, His death, burial, and His resurrection. And so we celebrated that last week. We celebrated and continue to celebrate that we serve a God who loves us, who gave up everything for us, who died in your place and in mine and rose again, church, there's a lot of people that have claimed to be God and saviors, but we serve and worship and follow a risen Lord and Savior. That's a big deal, church, right? And last week, we saw that Jesus came and He lived, died, and rose again. He came because God so loved the world and because He came to be the Savior of the world. But we also notice that He is a personal God. Right? He's a personal God who loves you and me personally. He calls us by name. He loves us and cares for us deeply. He's not just corporate. He is that, but He's also personal. And He's at work in our lives personally. Church, we must know that it's not just Easter. Jesus is still at work today. Our lives need to represent that we believe that. Right? He is at work in our lives, in our church, in Tucson, and throughout the world. He's at work using us to invite others to share the gospel with those around us. That's why we're here, church. Right? Otherwise, Jesus would have just taken us home. Right? That's why we're here, to connect people to Jesus, to make Jesus known so that people can be forgiven, so that they can see Jesus and have their lives and their eternities changed. Right? We get to be a part of that. And so today we ask the question, now what? Right, Jesus, or what now? Like, Jesus came and He lived and He died and He rose again and He's gone to be with the Father in heaven. So what now? What do we do now? The disciples and those who followed Jesus, they saw Jesus live. They saw Him die. They saw Him as a resurrected Jesus. And church, we can see from Scripture that they were thinking the same thing. Like, what now? But Jesus doesn't leave them. He doesn't leave us hanging. He lays it out for us clearly in His Word. We see Jesus speak to this in many different places throughout Scripture. He tells us about the what now. You know, when someone, you guys have been there with someone where it's going to be the last time you see them, or maybe they're going to go home to be with Jesus, their last words while they're with you are important. Amen? Right? Jesus gives us some last words. In Mark chapter 16, we see this. Jesus says, He says to His followers, to Christians, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Luke chapter 24, I don't want to have this up on the screen, but you can look it up. Luke 24, 46 through 49, it says that Jesus is sending us out to proclaim to all the nations. All the nations in the Bible means all the people groups. You're to proclaim and tell them who Jesus is and what He did. We're to tell others that they need to turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that Jesus loves them. In John chapter 20, Jesus says, hey guys, I am sending you out. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Church, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within you. The same God, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives within those that call Jesus Lord and Savior. And He said, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why we're here. We are here to live for Jesus and to live with Jesus. We're here to glorify Him in all we do. We exist to make much of Jesus and to bring glory to Him, church. And we're going to do that for eternity. You're not doing it right now, man, you ain't going to like heaven. Right? I say the same thing about worshiping. You don't like singing now, you ain't going to like heaven. You don't like other people, you're not going to like heaven, because we're going to be gathered together worshiping and glorifying God and Jesus for eternity. But while we are still here, Jesus says that He's sending us out. We're ambassadors, right? We're to tell others about Jesus, to tell others how Jesus saved you and made you new. Only you have your story to tell about how Jesus made you new. We're to invite others to church, right? To hear the gospel. We're to live lives that point people to Jesus. We're to be His witnesses, and we're to be His church. And all that brings us to our message for today. Church, now that Jesus has died and risen, what now? To see that, we're going to look at a familiar passage, Matthew chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible's broken out in two sections, Old Testament, New Testament. First book of the New Testament is Matthew. Church, if you are a Christian, this should be a familiar passage to you. And so if it's not, make it, right? Memorize it, study it. This is actually a moment well before Jesus died and rose again. But in this moment, Jesus tells us the what and the how. He tells us what we're to do once Jesus has gone back to be with the Father. Now that he's risen again, Jesus tells them and us years before he dies the what and the how. And we're going to see how Jesus calls us to live our lives both as individuals and as a church. And he really does it, church, in two simple words. But there's so much packed into those words. We're going to do a little bit of a word study today. Amen? We're going to do that. Man, I think it's good to know what these words mean. So open your Bibles, your devices, Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to honor God by standing, and we're going to read what God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says this, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." Church, let's pray. Father, we come here today still celebrating our risen Savior, still ready to hear from you, still ready to follow you, to trust you and to be with you. And so, God, we pray, Lord, today that we would be attentive to what you have for us today. God, we would be challenged and encouraged by your word. God, if there's moments that we need to turn to you and repent of, we pray, Lord, that we do that. God, if we need to hear a calling in your life, we pray, Lord, that we would hear that today. God, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus and not responded to Jesus' call to follow him, that they would do that today. So, God, you are in charge. We're not. God, help our hearts resemble that. Help our hearts reflect that. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be humble before you. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Our focus, church, over the last couple weeks has been on Jesus. And it's going to continue to be on Jesus in our text today. Matthew begins this section of scripture by bringing our attention to Jesus, right? We look at this passage. This passage is about Jesus and who he is. Right, we see what he says, what he does, and what he will do. You can look at the screen with me, and they're all going to be underlined. Verse 18 says, "Now as Jesus, right, was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Am I behind? "For they were fishermen, and he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus." Church, Jesus is the focus of this passage, right? We can look at the four that he's calling. We can study, you know, what they're doing as fishermen, but Jesus is the focus here. And so as we are in the week after Easter, where Jesus has lived, died, and rose again, and we think about the what now, we need to know that Jesus is the one who is going to lead us in the what now. Right, there's a lot of people like, what is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Jesus is the leader of that. He's the leader of our what now. As we live, as we go, as we do life, church, Jesus, in your notes on the back of your bulletin, Jesus is our leader. He is your leader. If you're a Christian today, he's your leader. If you're not a Christian today, you're probably your leader. And I promise you, Jesus will do better at it than you. He's done better at it than I will. Jesus is our leader. When we began, we looked at a few passages earlier where Jesus tells us that he is sending us out and he commands us to be his witnesses. But there's one more passage that we didn't look at yet, and that's a passage that's known as the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Jesus has risen, he's meeting with his disciples and other followers, and he leaves us with these words. It says this, "But the 11 disciples," remember there were 12, Judas betrayed Jesus, he took his own life. There's 11 disciples left. "They proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying," listen to this, church, he says, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I think he covers all of it, right? He's got the authority. And so because he has the authority, he says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all that I commanded, and lo, I'm with you always even to the end of the age. Church, we see here that Jesus, he's the authority. He's our mission giver. He's our what now leader. He's the mission leader. Right? Philippians 2:9 says this, because Jesus came and died and defeated death, it says, for this reason, God the Father highly exalted Jesus and gave Jesus the name that is above every name. So that at the name of who, church? At the name of Jesus. Let's try that again. He deserves it. Amen. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He's master. He's in charge. He's the boss to the glory of God the Father. So he has the authority. He's above all. He is Lord over all. He's our leader. And we could look all throughout Scripture to see this over and over again, that he's our leader. But just one more, because we need to be reminded, church. God has called people with different gifts within the church. He's called me and others to lead within the church. But I want us to know this truth. Colossians 1:8 says that Jesus is also the head of the body, the church. This is his church. He's the leader of this church, right? He is the one who ultimately leads us. He lays out our steps, our mission, and our aim. And so now that Jesus has risen, we can know our what now. Why? Because we know the leader of who gives the what now, right? Jesus is our leader, which means this. We're his followers. We're his followers. We say that a lot here at Authentic Life. We are Jesus' followers. If you are a Christian, that's your identity. You're a follower of Christ. Church, let me just make this really clear. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He's flying the plane, church. Right? He's flying it. He's directing it. He's in the tower. He's in charge, church. Jesus is not your co-pilot. He's not one that you check in with. Like, he is the leader. He's flying the thing. And as Jesus followers, by the way, that's in your own lives and in the church. And so as Jesus followers, as we saw from these verses, he's the leader of your life and he's the leader of this church. We just need to own that. Let us never forget that. Jesus is your leader. He's the leader of this church. Amen? When it comes to your personal life and mine, he is the leader. He is Lord. He is in charge and master. You know why? Because he sits on the throne. We don't. And when it comes to this church family, he's in charge. He's the leader. And so he's the one we seek to know what we do now. In church, this makes our life and he makes our church so much better. When we recognize, when we try to sit on the throne of our lives or try to sit on the throne of this church, it makes it not so good, right? He makes our life and our church better. When we know that he's in charge, when we know that he's in control, and we know that he lays out the mission for our what now. And so church, on a regular basis, we need to pray. But I want to say this, our prayer today and for the rest of our lives at Authentic Life is, God, at Authentic Life, God, keep us united and focused on Jesus and following him. He's not going to lead us astray. So that's who Jesus is and that's who we are. He's the leader, we're not. He's Lord, we're followers. Look back with me to verse 18 as we walk through this passage. It says this, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. Look at verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee. I think if you're about to have a baby, that's a good name, Zebedee. Let's just do it, right? In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. So Jesus comes up to these two different groups of brothers. He comes up to Peter and Andrew, and they're out working, right? This is their livelihood. They're fishing. We don't know the details about if it's their business or not, or if they're working for someone else, but they are fishing. They're good at what they do. This is what they do for a livelihood. What's the word? For a job. Let's just do that. Words are hard, right? And so that's what they're doing. They're fishing. And then Jesus comes to James and John, and this is a family business. This is a family fishing business. Right, we know that because if we look at Mark's account, it says that this was their dad's boat, it's Zebedee's boat. They had servants, they had employees that are working. And so Jesus comes up to these guys and he says two words to him. He says, hey, follow me. Follow me. Church, this is where we want to dive deep here. The word that Jesus uses here to follow is the Greek word doute. Can you guys say that with me? Doute. You know what that word means? It means to come. To come to him, follow me, come to me. It means to come to him, to be with him, and to go where he goes. There's a song, I love this song, with the words, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Guess what? I will follow you. A lot of times we just look at this passage and we're like, okay, we're just going to follow Jesus. But that word, in its context, that word means to be with him wherever he leads or goes. To be with him. So when we ask the question, what now, we first recognize that he calls us to follow him. It's a Greek word used in the New Testament. It's a relational word. It's an invitational word. It's that he's the leader that calls us and invites us to come and be with him and follow him. Wherever he leads, we go, church, right? It's a word used in the New Testament to describe coming to Jesus. In fact, it's the same word in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word come is the same Greek word, doute, for follow. And it's described what the disciples do with Jesus. They come to be with him, to do life with him, to follow him. Where he goes, they'll go. Where he stays, they'll stay. And so when we ask what now, we recognize that Jesus is Lord. He is our leader. We're the followers, so we follow him. And what I want us to do is I want us to see and understand what it means to follow Jesus. Number one in your notes is this. When Jesus says, follow me, to follow him is, church, it's to be with him. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to be with him. Remember, church, Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us, right? He is the with us God. He came to be with us, and throughout his ministry, he calls us and shows us the importance of being with him. I think about when Jesus selected the 12. Right? He calls them, hey, come and be with me, follow me. But you know what he does is he goes and spends time on the mountain with God the Father. He prays, and then he goes to select his 12. He selected his 12 to be his disciples and his apostles. Look at Mark 3 with me. Jesus, look at what he does here. Jesus went up to the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, what does it say? To be with him. And then we see to send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Notice the order in what Jesus is doing. He selects the 12. They come to him. In verse 14, it says that he first called them to be with him before they go out and serve and do ministry. They are first with Jesus. And one last example. We're not going to turn there, but in Luke chapter 11, we've got two sisters, two ladies, Martha and Mary. Very popular story. Jesus comes to their home to visit with them and to pour into them and spend time with them. And they're friends of Jesus. And Martha, what's she doing? She's doing good stuff. She's preparing. She's serving. She's making sure the house is good. She's got the candles lit. She's got all the plates out, right? She's got the best dishes and the silverware. She is serving. And she is preparing and she's doing for Jesus. But where's Mary? Mary, in that moment, is at the feet of Jesus. She's with him. And Jesus never says that Martha doing her serving and doing and all that other stuff is a bad thing, but he points out what's necessary. Jesus actually says what is necessary and what is best in this moment is to be with me. Church, don't miss this. Before we do, before we go, can you grab that for me? Before we husband, before we wife, before we parent, before we work, before we teach, before we do whatever it is, we're to be with Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 15 that without him we can do nothing. Nothing of any eternal value can be done apart from Jesus. And so to follow Jesus is to first be with him, to be with him in prayer, to be with him in his word, to worship him, to gather with his church body, to be with him, church, to spend time with him. And in those moments, Jesus pours his life into ours, and then our ministry, our serving, our going is Jesus' life really pouring out of ours. So to follow him is to first be with him. I'm going to illustrate this for us here. Let's see if I can do this without making a ginormous mess. Coke Zero, good to dump out, right? Just kidding. But this is our life, church. Like, this is our life, right? Before Jesus, right? This is what we bring to the table, right? We bring this to the table. Many of you guys have seen this before, but I love this illustration because here's the reality. When we spend time with Jesus, When we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time in his word, when we spend time with brothers and sisters, right, that are helping us grow in our walk with Christ, when we gather as a church and we worship him, right, when we pray, when we seek God, when we do that, you know what's happening is Jesus is pouring his life into ours a little bit at a time, right? Can you guys see this? He's pouring his life into ours. And guess what? His life starts to fill ours out, push the junk out of our life, and our life becomes more and more like his. Our life begins to look more and more like the life of Jesus, and it is his life that begins pouring out of ours. And so when we're serving, it's Jesus serving through us. When we're being good husbands and wives and parenting, it's Jesus doing that through us. Whenever we're serving in the church, whenever we're going out in the community, when we're inviting, it's Jesus' life that is pouring in ours and then overflowing out of our life, church. That's what that is. So when Jesus says, come and follow me, he says, come and be with me. Let me pour my life into you. Seek me. Let me lead you and guide you. And then guess what? Once you do that, then I'm going to overflow out of you, because without me, you can do nothing of any eternal value. So we got to be with him. And then in our text, we see what it means to follow Jesus. Remember Peter and Andrew and then James and John. Jesus calls them in verse 19 and he said to them, follow me. Come and be with me. Go where I go. Do what I do. Stay where I stay and I will make you fishers of men. Mark actually says this really well. He says, come and be with me and I will make you become fishers of men. I think that's important because we don't just go out and tell people about Jesus on our own. It's the power of God doing it within us and then doing it through us. And then in verse 20, brothers Peter and Andrew, the first two, he calls them, follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. They came to be with Jesus. Then verse 22, James and John, he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Church, to follow Jesus is to first be with him. And when we're with him, we know who he is, right? We seek God. The more we seek God, the more we know God. The more we know God, the more we love God. Amen, church? And then out of that, we can trust him. We know that. So to follow Jesus is to first be with him, and then to follow him is to live with abandonment. Do we live with abandonment? I like this description. It's like, how tight of a grip do you hold on to things, right? Can you abandon? Here's what this means. Jesus calls these men. They're doing what they're doing. They're providing for themselves. They're providing for their families. They live with abandonment when Jesus calls them. They leave behind their nets and their boats, but also their jobs and their income and their security. They're leaving all things behind as they go to follow Jesus. Now, here's the thing. God may not be calling you to leave your job or your home, but he might. He might. I remember Jessica and I serving, having a great time in Kansas City, eating good barbecue, watching the Chiefs and the Royals and the Jayhawks, all that good stuff that you all hear me brag about all the time. I love Kansas City. And Jesus says, you're going to Tucson. So he might. So we need to live with abandonment because of who he is, because he's poured out. He does that in and through us. Jessica and I have missionary friends that have left behind their jobs, their homes, even their families. Why? Because God was calling them to places like Brazil, or to places like Africa or other places throughout the world. They followed Jesus and they clearly heard God call them, right? Their church laid hands on them, affirmed them, and sent them out. They lived with abandonment so they could go and serve and share Jesus with those, with the nations, church. But to live with abandonment in our everyday life is placing Jesus and his leading in your life and his plan for your life and his mission above your plan and your mission, above everything else. We got a lot of plans, don't we? There's nothing wrong with that. Jessica and I, we're very scheduled people. Like, I know what we're eating for lunch and, you know, stuff next week, right? I mean, we got it all planned out. But his plan becomes over ours. These men here, they're leaving behind comfort and certainty and security. Jesus didn't say, hey, guys, let's go to this place or that place. He didn't lay it out for them so they could stop and pray about it. Hey, let me see if I can do that, Jesus, right? He says, I'm the Savior, I'm the Lord, I'm the King, I'm the hope of this world, so come and be with me and follow me wherever I go, wherever I send you. And what did they do? They responded with abandonment. Church, don't miss this. We don't always know where God will take us or what he's going to ask us to do, but we always know that we are there with him. And he's going to do the work in and through us. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so come and follow me, be with me, and let me send you where I need to send you. Their actions are telling us that following Jesus is more valuable. Being with him is better than everything else that they have. And so if God calls them to give something up because he's worth it, they do. These men leave behind their careers, they leave behind their possessions, they leave behind their positions, their safety, they're abandoning themselves. Church, we live in a world that says promote you. Take care of you. Look out for you first. But Jesus tells us that following him means to take up your cross and be with Jesus. God may not ask you to be leaving your job or your home or your country. But is he calling you to set aside your comfort for the advancement of the gospel so that others can hear about Jesus and know Jesus? Is he asking you not to cling so tightly to your resources, your money, the things that you have so that others can hear about Jesus? Is he calling you to set aside Sunday mornings or a night in the week to be with the body of Christ, the church, right, his family? Is he calling you to be open to his clear calling on your life to be a missionary or a pastor or a ministry leader? What is God calling you to loosen your grip on so that you can be with him and follow him? It's going to look different for all of us. But what we do know is Jesus is Lord. He has a plan for you. And we need to be able to, when we spend time with him, we'll be able to live with abandonment for his glory. That leads us to the next one. To follow Jesus is to be with him, to be willing to abandon, and then also is to live entirely for him. To live for him entirely. To live entirely for someone may sound a bit extreme, right? Until we realize or remember who that someone is. This is King Jesus, right? The one that we just celebrated last week and we wept and we sang and we rejoiced that he was abused and he suffered beyond our recognition and he bled and died on the cross for you and me and then rose again. That's who we're talking about. Right? To live for him, right? He's our leader. He's the one we live for. We sing all the time about it. We get here and we turn up K-Love in our car and we sing that we're going to live for you, Jesus. But do we? Do we leave these doors and live for Jesus entirely? These men, these fishermen, they didn't know where or to what Jesus, where he was taking them, but they knew that he was calling them to be with him. And that was enough for him because he was worth it. Are you with me, church? So live with a heart that's willing to put Jesus over everything. And by the way, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more willing you'll be able to put Jesus over everything. Because the more time you spend with Jesus, you'll find out how good he is. Don't live for the desires of the world. Live entirely for him. Now we think about these men. They were working so they could provide for themselves and had some families to provide for. But when Jesus calls them, they were willing to leave because they knew that Jesus would provide, church. To follow him is to live with joyful dependency on him. Joyful dependency. Church, they didn't know the answers, right? But they were following the one who did. They were following God, the creator and the shepherd, the one that sustains the world. We can fully depend on Jesus, church. I know we have worries and concerns and doubts, right? But Jesus says, I can handle all of those. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says that we're to take all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our anxieties, all of our fears and cast them on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for us. He's got you. And that leads us to this one. To follow Jesus is to trust him completely. It's hard to trust because we're people and we've failed people and they've failed us. But we can trust Jesus completely. I don't know where you are today or what you may be struggling with or maybe you're doubting something, but what I do know is that Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that rescued you and me from hell, right? Kind of a big deal, right? He saved you from your sins. He forgave you. He brought you into his family, adopted you. He made you his. He gave you a new life. You can trust him, church. These disciples, they live their life in full dependency and fully trusting in Jesus. And by the way, we live on the other side of the resurrection. They were on this side at this point, right? Man, we have no excuse, church. Amen? Come on now. Amen? All right, there we go. To say amen means that we're in one accord, that we agree, okay? Let me help you out there, right? That's right, okay? I'm just telling you. That was a good word. Man, they lived in full dependency, trusting in Jesus. And last is this, church. Jesus is our leader. We're his followers. And to follow Jesus is to live in obedience to his mission. We don't even have to put mission on there. Just live in obedience, period. Listen to what Jesus says. Follow me. Come be with me. Go where I go. Stay where I stay. You with me, church? If I send you, go, right? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So they're out fishing for food. They're fishing for their livelihoods, for this life. They were casting their nets. Sometimes they would catch one fish or a smaller pocket of fish, and sometimes they would get hundreds of fish, right? But Jesus is saying, I have a bigger fishing trip for you. I've got a bigger mission for you. I have a mission for you to go to people, one at a time, maybe smaller groups of people, or maybe casting out large nets. And instead of fishing for this life and things of this world, this is for eternal life, because eternity matters for everybody. And so what are we being obedient to? We're being obedient to his mission, to his calling. We're trusting Jesus as our perfect leader with his perfect mission. We're coming to be with him, to be used by him. Church, according to Jesus here, to be obedient to his mission is become fishers of men and women and children for Jesus. That's what it means. To become fishers of men, of people. It's to live lives knowing that those around you, those in the world that do not know Jesus, their lives and their eternities matter. Right? When you go out and you're mad at Tucson drivers are bad, I get it, but Jesus died for them too. I know you're frustrated with your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your daughter-in-law. Not me. I love my mother-in-law, right? Yes, ma'am. Okay. But Jesus loves them too. He died for them too, church. Are you with me? Like everybody we come in contact with, Jesus died for. Their lives, their eternity matters just as much as yours does. They matter to Jesus, and guess what? Because we're the followers and he's the leader, they matter to us. And if they don't, church, I'm just going to call it, you got a heart issue. You got a love issue. There's something wrong. You're on the throne of your heart, or something else is, if you're not loving people the way Jesus does. And so we're to live intentionally to share Jesus with people, to live in obedience to Jesus, to be on mission, to become fishers of men. Church, we must live to make disciples. To make a disciple is not just seeing someone saved and then move on. Jesus never calls us to do that. He calls us to pour into them, to walk with them, to teach them, to be friends with them, to be family with them, help them walk with Jesus, go on mission with them, church. Gather and worship Jesus together. We got to make disciples in that way. Jesus followers, the Savior, Messiah, King, the hope of the nations, Jesus, he deserves all we have. He deserves all you have. He deserves all we have as a church family. Church, I want to put things into perspective for a second. I just want you to think about this. We had an amazing service last week. We individually and as a church, we prayed for people. We invited people. We brought people. We welcomed people. We encouraged people. And people came and heard the life-saving gospel of Jesus. What would it look like if we didn't just do that at Easter? Let that sit with you just for a second. But daily, fully committed Jesus followers here at Authentic Life, knowing Jesus is our leader and we are his followers, responding daily to his call to be with him, to follow him, to trust him entirely, to be on mission with him. What would Rita Ranch and Vail and Tucson look like if we kept focused on this target with continual devotion to Jesus and his church and his mission to see people come to know Jesus? Let's go back to the very beginning. We have many in here who have been saved. But have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you turned to him as Lord and Savior? Are you a follower of Jesus, the one that gave up everything for you? He came to save you. Will you surrender all to him? Church, I want to challenge us in a couple areas. Let's live every day like Easter's coming up. Are you with me? Let's live every day like Easter's coming up. We know Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, biggest days for church attendance. That's just a day for us to rejoice, okay, church? Are you with me? I mean, it's a huge day. It's the biggest day. It's our Super Bowl. It's our national championship, right? That's what it is. But let's live every day like Easter's coming up. Let's live every day like we care about that neighbor. Are you with me? If you're here today and don't know Jesus, Jesus came to die for you. He desires to save you, rescue you, forgive you, and adopt you into his family. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. But he says, I love you so much. I'm going to come and die in your place and rise again, and I'm going to call you by name. Let's pray, church.